That piece of paper we have, we're going to do the last bit of it. I'm going to review a little bit of yesterday's, and if there's any kind of comments, too, that we could take maybe after a while, but I want to take us to one final passage as we would look at this. So let me pray, and we'll begin tonight. Father, I want to thank you so much again for my friends and just the blessing it is to minister your word and practical tips and helps. I pray that you would continue to stir our hearts and continue to work in us. I know that some, even this week, even hearing from even some teenagers and just what you're doing in their lives as well, and some of the commitments to being more faithful, to hungering and thirsting after you and who you are. God, I know it does take effort. Lord, there's an element where we could be so disciplined, but just because we're disciplined doesn't make us godly. But we also know, God, that there's no way we could truly be godly and walk with you faithfully if we're not disciplined enough to open up the scriptures and to set aside time and to spend with you. So God, I pray, would you continue to work in our hearts? Lord, may it not be out of duty, but may it be out of devotion because of our love for you. And God, thank you for this time now. Bless it as we would seek to minister to one another in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we look at this thought, I kind of want to highlight yesterday's real fast and just kind of walk through that for anyone who maybe have missed yesterday, and just kind of a reminder. But as we kind of talked through it, we talked about this thing called DPAC. Actually, that began to originate. A friend of ours, both Jeremy and mine, I think Jeremy knows him. I guess I kind of say a friend of our both of us. Do you know Bob Roberts? Did you know Bob at all? Okay. So Bob's just a friend of ours, and Bob ran a program called Kids for Truth, and it was kind of like replacing Awana in many ways. And then we have another good friend, Ben Ice, who runs Truth Trackers, and that's to me even a better style of program. But when I think about Bob was an idea guy. He always would say things. So I told him at one point, I said, Bob, I was talking to Will. I said, Will, I think I want to try to teach children how to read the Bible. I mean, I'm doing these devotional stuff that every summer for Northland Camp, for the junior side, I'd write these devotionals, I'd write all the way, and I'd even give them a Saturday devotional, even knowing that they're getting up early and leaving, and they wouldn't have the time. But I'm thinking, you know, what about a kid, you know, who wants to really be faithful, and we've been helping him, why not add that? And then it's like, at some point, I'm like, well, maybe I should write a Sunday one, too, and then maybe I should write another week, and actually, maybe I should do like a yearly devotional for children. But that's a lot of work. And then I'm thinking too, again, not that I'm not against work, but it's like, you know, I'm thinking about that and then going, well, then if that's the case, then the next year you have to write another one, like 365, and you're kind of working. And then it was like, it dawned on me, I'm like, wait a second, what if we just took them to the source? What if we actually taught children who know how to read? I mean, not all kids do, but these are typically third through sixth grade or third through seventh. What if we taught them how to read the scriptures? And how to really gain something from it. And so I began to poll all kinds of people to say, hey, let me just ask you a question. I'll ask you guys the poll question. Okay, here's what it is. Ready? How many of you, when you were in elementary school, well, let's say at some point up to sixth grade or something like that, actually had personal daily kind of devotions? Did any of you do that, okay, when you were that age? Okay, so I got one in the room, okay? So now that ruins my whole odds, okay? Because I thought there's going to be a couple more maybe. And I was going to say, out of the one who's here, now we all know who we're talking about, all right, so I'm kind of picking on him. But did you read a devotional style of booklet, or did you strictly read the Bible? Okay, so that was something else we found. So we'd ask all these people, and we found actually there were people that did that. So I would find this is when I asked the big group of people, I would find, because obviously you'd have to probably grow up in a Christian home too, because some of you did and some of you didn't, and some of you even in that, depends everywhere. So, but I'm talking to this group and I find out like, you know, there was a handful that actually spent time with God and his word. And I'm like, that's really good. And then I'm like, how many of you though out of a handful actually read the Bible? And there was a couple. Usually they're doing a devotional booklet, but like who strictly read the Bible, there was some. And even in that, all of that group, it wasn't like they were just some exceptionally brilliant kids. That's why they were reading the Bible, because they just were really smart and knew how to do it. No, they just were kids who had come to Christ and who had a hunger for it and would read it. So at that point, you know, we're going, what can we teach kids this? Can we even do this? And we had naysayers. We had people who were like, you know, what are you talking about? You know, kids can't read the Bible. But we're like, no. We're finding enough people out there that they actually did. And so we went on, and I'm thinking, what should we teach them, actually? Well, obviously, going into this and kind of walking through steps like this, but we said, what if we were to look for things that stood out? I already knew, look for true, you know, look for doctrine, or look for commands and promises, look for God's attributes and who he is. And so some of those things I was thinking about already, and then I say something to Will Galkin. Will, at the time, he's, you know, working at camp, too, and he's like, man, that's a great idea. Kind of foundational. What if we taught kids? Because in that age, what if you taught them actually how to read the Bible and they learned to be faithful during elementary age? Then they hit junior high and high school. I mean, could you imagine if you're faithfully reading the scriptures and walking with God throughout your high school years? Like how that would change everything about your life in a sense, you know? It would have changed mine, you know? And so I'm thinking about that. And so he said, actually, Bob Roberts had something. He was talking about at some point, I feel like it was kind of similar of looking at those things. It was something called DPAC. And so I'm like, okay, what does it stand for? I don't know. You got to call Bob. So I called Bob. And Bob's this idea guy, visionary, you know, kind of a person. And I said, hey, Bob, I heard about this from Will. And, you know, when some kind of conversation, he goes, oh, yeah, it's probably just a conversation I had with Will. You know, I did never do anything with it. I think it was actually going to be scripture memory and thinking that kids should learn doctrine. Maybe they should learn, you know, promises and, you know, and commands and whatever. And so he said, I kind of called it DPAC. You know, you kind of pack it in and, you know, God's packed it in. You got to DPAC it, you know, and he kind of makes this, you know, he said, but honestly, we never did anything with it. I don't care. You can use whatever you want to do, you know. And so I said, actually, this is about personal time with God. And so we want to teach kids how to DPAC. And in the process, as we did this, we turned it around, and there were times where, like, pre-services for adults and stuff, we said, why don't we throw that in there? And we started going into the process, we're throwing this in there, and you don't know how many people would come to me and say, I have grown up in church all my life, I've always been told I need to read my Bible, but no one actually practically ever kind of taught me how. And thank you. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like, because, you assume it. I kind of assume it on the congregation, and I'm thinking, oh wow. So as we've done this, we've seen how this is a blessing, not just the kids. I teach this to teenagers. I think about being at Ironwood years ago when I was doing this, and I've done it multiple times at Ironwood, but I would do it like just one little sliver of a morning thing. I would say, hey, I want to teach you something as a practical lesson to kind of come away with. And I would challenge them to, you know, be faithful just for a couple of days in this, because then it gets in your mindset and you're okay. You don't need the steps. So as I did this, interesting, I remember coming across a pastor in Pennsylvania. We were at the church, and this was the assistant's, so the youth pastor's wife, said, Jeremy, said, do you remember when you taught us that at Ironwood? She goes, I never forgot that. Actually, I've been doing that, and it's just amazing how God has used that in my life for so long. I hope you keep teaching, you know, keep, you know, doing that practical session. And I thought, oh, that's really encouraging to hear. And the idea is, again, you can fish and feed somebody for a day, but if I actually teach you how to fish, you can feed yourself for a lifetime. And that's that mentality here. So as we kind of looked in this whole idea of DPAC, they stood for these things. And so many of you were here yesterday, so let me just kind of just walk it through really fast. But D actually stands for doctrine. It's a truth that's taught in the Bible. It's a truth to believe. Doctrine is so important. And that's why if you don't know doctrine, you can be pulled away in so many different realms. And so it's you do need doctrine. And if people say, you know, doctrine divides, you know, well, of course it does, because it should. There is truth and there is error, you know. And there are main truths and there are minor truths too. There's an element sometimes where the scripture is very clear as it's some like almost screaming at you with major doctrine. And there are secondary issues that would be important, but they're not major. And you got to see as the scripture emphasizes, highlights, that's what should be our major emphasis, the secondary issues that are maybe even questionable. Well, then, you know, there's some leeway there, we feel. So in the midst of that, doctrine is so, so important. And then E, examples to follow or avoid. And there's so many of these in narrative readings. And then promises. We come across a scriptural promise. We even stated some of these again yesterday. And so this is again kind of a reminder. And then attributes. These are descriptions of God, his character qualities, who God is. And again, we all come with a preconceived notion about God. And it depends on your background, depends on all these kind of things as we come in. And we have to say, wait a second, what does the scripture teach? And will I actually believe that and trust in him for who he is? And so we begin to see how the attributes, and as we pray through some of these things, how it so affects us. Think about your morning prayer time. How often do you just pray through even God's attributes and who he is? Could you imagine just spending time even on 1 John 1:9 and saying he is faithful? Think about the faithfulness of God. Do you not realize if God were not faithful, the whole universe would be destroyed? I mean, it's just like every day is faithfulness. He continues on. His mercies. I think, you know, but again, there's so many powerful attributes. And then see his command, a command to obey. Or maybe God tells you don't do something, you know, or do something. And so we think of sins of omission and sins of commission that we would call them. So those are the things that DPAC stands for. Now you can look for other things. In my own highlights and stuff that I do personally, there's elements where I've got a bunch of manipulative highlights that mean things, fulfilled prophecies, and oh, this deals with heaven, or, you know, I mean, it's just interesting how you can do that within your study, how you want to highlight things. But let me just kind of real fast remind you of those steps. Number one, you pray before you ever read the scriptures and ask God for help. It's the scripture. It's a psalmist who said, again, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of your law. God, work in my heart. I mean, this morning was one of those ones too where I got up, phew, God, I don't really sort of feel like spending time with you right now. I mean, I can barely keep my eyes open. But God, I really do want to spend time with you. Will you change my heart as I read? Will you quicken me? Will you awaken me even as I read the scriptures and spend time with you? And praise God, it may start off at feeling like I got to do this out of duty. But by the time you're done too, I hope it doesn't stay there. But my heart starts shifting as I yield to the Lord. I mean, there's a lot of times I don't feel like doing. I mean, how many times do you feel like coming to church on a Sunday morning? Do you really always feel that way? You know, do any of you ever feel like not showing up Sunday morning? Would you raise your hand? Okay. Yeah, I knew it. I was waiting for Pastor. I wanted to see that. He raised his hand. And that's true. And yet I am so grateful. You don't feel like it maybe, and then you just say, by God's grace, I'm going, and then you go, and then you always go, I'm so glad I went, you know? And so I'm sure you felt that probably every night this week, you know, as you think about coming or not, because you're like, oh, I do want to, but I don't. You know, because you're tired, and I get it. So pray, ask God for help. Ask him to help as you understand what you would read. Ask number two as you kind of work this. Just have a plan. I'm trying to encourage you, don't read it randomly, but have a plan. Have that planned passage that you work through. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. Then as you're reading through this, as you're working through that passage of scripture, you underline verses that you think has one of these things. You find a command, underline the command. Why not? You can highlight, in a sense, these different ones. You may want to use different colored pens or different highlights of some sort. I mean, these are all helpful things as you kind of do this. Or number four, you put the letter beside the verse. So you've underlined it and maybe just put a little C there for a command. And you're just saying to God, God, okay, this is a command from you. And by your grace and help, I want to obey that command. Or God, I'm being convicted right now because I'm like, I'm not obeying that command. And God, will you forgive me? And will you change me? Because I long to follow you in your way and your will and your commands. So these, you pray through these. I'd say number five, you finish reading, you answer two questions. There's the first one is simply informational question, isn't it? It's kind of like, again, if you read the scriptures in the last 24 hours personally, the question simply then would be is, so what did you read about? And I think sometimes that can be hard because if you're not careful and you don't write it down or you're not thinking, you go, Jeremy and I were talking about how, at least I struggle, I won't tell on you too. But I'm saying, like, do you ever try to read something, you're reading something, and then I'm like, I just think I might have read a whole chapter, and this may not even be Bible, but I'm like, what did I just read? Like, my mind has been in la-la land, you know, go back, you know. So, and I think it helps when you can write it down. So what'd you read about? And again, don't leave it here only, because information actually, in the end, knowledge puffeth up. It can make you arrogant and proud. And so you want to do this. Number two, you could say on this one, is application. It's the idea of, hey, how does God want me to live because of what I just learned? That's personally applying it to your life. This is where God makes you more into his image. And I think about this, I would say, I think my family could attest to this. I am much sweeter coming out of personal time with God than going into it. When you hang out with deity, you're humbled. You see God and his goodness. This is why the Apostle Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He called himself the chief of sinners. He's the greatest missionary who ever lived, and he's the chief of sinners? What are you saying, Paul? But you get close to the light, and you're really exposed. And we begin to see ourselves as sinful and see how holy he is. What a reminder. And what a good reminder to us, too. So the idea is then you would take the scriptures and you apply it to your life and you leave different because of it. And then number six was just to spend real time in prayer. So you begin with prayer, you end with prayer, you pray all the way through. You know, there's an element, but maybe now at this moment, as God has spoken to you, it's a good time for you to kind of bare your heart before God and talk to God about these things. And again, you maybe use some of that acrostic that you have there for praying, P-R-A-Y, praise, repent, ask, yield. I mean, that kind of idea can be a help initially. But you don't, sometimes I say scrap the stuff, you know? Just talk to him. Let him know your hurts. Again, as I was saying before, even when we kind of read through Jonah, maybe you're mad at him. Maybe you need to say, God, I'm really mad at you right now. And I just don't understand something. I mean, you read some of the Psalms and you realize that some of them seem to start off pretty tough. But as they keep talking with God and walking with God, what happens? You're watching humility happen within the heart, and they end up like, so in the end, the heathen don't really rage because they all stand before God, you know. So this is a great reminder for us that way. Then I would just ask this question. I didn't finish it yesterday, but here's the question is, what's your plan? Okay, as we kind of went through that whole thing, my question to you is, what's your plan going to be? Now, you might say, well, Jeremy, I like the DPAC idea. You know, and I would say, well, good, that's a great thing, you know. But what's your plan still? Because what are you going to DPAC? What passage of scripture, where are you headed for it? You know, because if you don't have a plan, you're going to fail. So what would that plan be? And that little bullet line and a little mark there, like that line, that's for you to write in. What's your plan? Or maybe some ideas that have maybe struck your attention. Maybe you want to change some of those things out and go on a different route, okay? And so sometimes, you know, the read through in a year, maybe sometimes in the middle of that, you just go, you know what? I'm scrapping that. I'm actually diving in this way for the next month. And I need to understand God better in this area, and this book is clear in its teaching. So God, teach me. Now, one last thing would be this is, I know as we're getting ready to start here, this next one, the fourth thing, the last thing would be that you would pick a partner. Now, what I'm not saying about this is family devotions, you know, with your friend. But what I'm saying is, if you take your Bible for just a moment and go to that passage in Ecclesiastes, this is actually just a reminder about partnership. It's a practical lessons in truth. I mean, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 would teach this. It says, two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor, their toil. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who's alone when he falls because he has not another to lift him up. He's stuck. You're in trouble. And that's in a practical way, isn't it? I mean, if you're out in the field and you're by yourself working and you all of a sudden have heart issues and you fall down and your cell phone's not near you and you're not near the truck, you're in big trouble. But praise God, when two people work together, there seems to be better reward because they work and they can get more done. But then if one falls, here's the other one to help them up. But then it goes on to even say this in verse 11 again, even if two lie together, they have heat. The idea is they keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? And I remember saying that one time in a congregation, and this older lady says, well, isn't that the truth? And then she says out loud, she says, "My husband died earlier this year, and my bed at night is so cold." And we're all like, "Oh, thanks, you know, for telling, you know." But even back in the day of travel and how they would, you know, get together and on purpose, because if you're close to somebody else, the body heat helps. And so that's the idea even within that. And then it even goes on to talk about this threefold cord. I mean, verse 12, "And even though a man might even be prevail against one who is alone, I mean, but two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." It's not easily broken. How does that happen? Well, you have a three-stranded rope, and you cut one of the strands, it still holds, it's just weaker. But if it's a one-stranded rope, and you chop it, it's done. And this is this whole idea of encouragement, of even within partnership, within life, and that's kind of a practical way. But I would just say, personally, why can't a spouse be an encouragement for accountability? Hey, what are you reading? What's God teaching you? Why can't we do that with our spouses? Why can't we do that with friends? Why can't we have a friend and, hey, beside of just, you know, showing up on a Sunday, you know, "How are you doing? Good. How are you doing? Good. You know, how's work? Good. Okay, see you next week." You know, wait a second here. And what's God teaching you? I think of teens, I would say, too. I think of a parent-child or a child-parent. Why can't my kids ask me, "Dad, what are you learning? What's God teaching you?" And I challenge them the same way. I realize a lot of times they're going to probably do it out of duty. And in one sense, I kind of say there's certain stipulations, and you can't really play, like, you know, you can't really play, you know, the Nintendo Switch or something like that, or something if you haven't spent time with God today. So, you know, like that. So, sure, it's somewhat a positive, but in the end, I don't want them to do it because they just want to play Nintendo Switch. I really want them to gain a heartbeat and a love for God and His Word. And so the partnership within that. So my question simply would be this, as you kind of conclude, who could be an accountability partner that you could encourage or that can encourage you? Because some of you in this room, you are so faithful in your personal time with God that for you, it's like it has just become a positive habit in life. For you, you're going to do it. The question is, will you humble yourself and really gain stuff from it or not, and not just do it as a checkoff, you know? But you're gonna daily be in it. But others of you, it's like, ooh, that established habit is not there. And accountability can be a great encouragement. And so consider, who could that be? Maybe you on purpose want to find people who really struggle. Maybe you want to find somebody that you know doesn't, and you do. So why can't we say, "Hey, you know, you mind texting me? I'm trying to be faithful in reading the scriptures personally. And we can even talk about what God's teaching me and stuff like that." You know, just be an encouragement, a friend, a true friend. Iron sharpening iron friend. A true church member, because in one sense, that's the way it should be. We should be that way towards one another. Father, I want to thank you so much for your goodness and kindness to us. Lord, thank you that you can stir us even further in our walk with you. Lord, there's some in this room. They have a time sort of set aside, but I ask God that you would, in each one of our hearts, increase our love, and that we would increase our time spent with you, that it would be quality time where you work in us, but then that we would learn to daily and moment by moment depend upon you. So God, we praise you for who you are. We thank you for what you're going to do. Bless our service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.